Okay, Bill Rice, you've been dying to say something.
Yeah, right. I think the whole thing, you tie a lot of these things in on the psychology used, especially in the Ninth Division. They tell us, in line with the dumping things, they tell us that they take sea ration cans and make booby traps out of them. Try to psych people's minds out that these people are always out to get you.
Okay, we're going to end this segment right here. Does the press have any questions on treatment of civilians?
You're listening to the Winter Soldier investigation over WBAI in New York City.
Does anybody know if the power went back on the slide projector or not? No, it's not. That's very good.
Scott, did you want to say something?
No, I did. I have witnessed, I think, most probably, it may not be one of the worst atrocities that happened during the war, because I'm sure there were quite a few that happened. But things like this, if it happened to me, I'm sure it happened to other people, and maybe when I relate it, they'll remember instances that happened to them. In November of 68, in an area called the Wagon Wheel, which is northwest of Saigon, while on a routine search and destroy mission, gunships were to be providing security and cover for us in case we had any contact, were circling overhead. Well, no contact was made, and the gunships got bored. So they made a gun run on a hooch with miniguns and rockets. When they left the area, we found one dead baby, which was a young child. Very young, in its mother's arms. And we found a baby girl about 3 years old that were dead because these people were bored and they were just sick of flying around doing nothing. Then, when it was reported to battalion, the only reprimand was to put the two bodies on the body count board and just add them up with the rest of the dead people. There was no reprimand, there was nothing. We tried to call the gunship off and there was nothing you could do. You know, he just made his run, dropped his ordnance, and left. And there they were, man. And the mother was, of course, hysterical. How would you like it if someone came in and shot your baby? And there was nothing we could do, man. We just watched it. And nothing happened. I have no idea what happened to the helicopter pilot or to anyone in the gunship. It was gone. And things like this happen, I'm sure, more than once. Because if I saw it, I'm sure there are a lot of veterans who aren't here who saw it. And this is why we have to stop the war. Because not only are we killing our brothers in the armed forces and brothers on the other side, but we're killing innocent people, man. Innocent civilians who are just standing by and happen to be at that place at that time, and for no other reason than that, wind up dead.
This is exactly the sort of thing which John was talking about at first. John was at the other end of the whole thing. He was the person who got the reports on how many people were killed and how many weapons were found and who was a VC, who apparently were civilians, and how they were all lumped together. John here, did you have something quick to say?
I was just going to bring up that the reason that things happen like this, in my unit there was a bounty posted for a body count because we went dry for a long time. We were pulling blocking forces and things. And we were offered a fifth of liquor for the first man who got the first body. If you're E6 or under, you can't buy alcohol in Vietnam. It doesn't matter if you're 53 years old. You can't do it. Not in a PX. If you're a 19-year-old lieutenant, you can. The incentive, the programs that they built to talk you into killing people. My friend Frank here, was in a unit that exemplifies this. We had a brigade commander called Colonel Henry Emerson who issued Recondo pins. These were glory badges, and if you haven't tasted your first blood, you couldn't pin one on. And if you weren't taking the pledge, and he stood up there on a little hill and let us all take the pledge and all of us pin on one of our Recondo pins, if we promised, you know, we had a promise. Frank's unit was even more ridiculous, I think, more absurd, not ridiculous because it does certain things to your head. And I think it would be a really opportune time for him to expose that.
Oh, one moment, please. Does any members of the press have questions? Yes.
When did you remember General Ewell?
Can't hear you.
General Ewell.
The question is, does any members of the panel remember a General Ewell?
Commander of the 9th Division, right?
Right. Do you remember any advertising tales about him?
I was in three parades that he had.
Hold on a second, please. It's against the policy of Winter Soldier to name any names of any officers or NCOs because we are trying to avoid scapegoating. That is one of the main premises. So once this man has been named, let's just hold back on any tales about him specifically. If it had been mentioned just a general, that would have been one thing. But we're not going to do anything by scapegoating. We don't want these people to just jump on them. We want the government policy change. We don't want them scapegoating more Callies.
Right on.
General Ewell is well known for having gone above and beyond the call of duty with regards to obtaining high body counts, things like that. According to another witness who's not here, he called his command ship the Mobile. My intent was not so much to scapegoat General Ewell as to kind of see if there was anything, you know, further elimination upon this rather outstanding officer.
Okay, we're going to be getting into inflated body counts, the entire question of how do you up the morale of the men in the field, how do you get them to kill. Frank, we were talking considerable lengths earlier about a special award which was issued. Would you care to tell the rest of the people about that?
Well, as we've been mentioning, there are many ways to build up your body count. In our particular unit, as John mentioned, he had the Recondo badge. We had this badge, known as the Sat Kong badge. This badge, translated into English, means kill Kong. This represents one Viet Cong, or civilian, whatever it may be, since there's really no way of telling, represents one life. These badges were given when someone could prove that he had killed a Viet Cong or Vietnamese. So there are many ways of doing this. One is to have somebody verify that you did, in fact, see him kill a Vietnamese. Another way is, and this was a common way, was to cut off the ear of the dead Vietnamese and bring it in, and which you could exchange it for one of these badges. The badges were created on a battalion level. I have the order here that created this badge. I'm the sick individual that signed it.
I tell you, Frank, on the sick individual, let's just say Captain of the Infantry on the
right
decision.
All right, this is a disposition form. It's an official Army form. It's dated 28 June 69. It reads as follows. Any member of this battalion who personally kills a Viet Cong will present a Sat Kong badge, kill Viet Cong, for his gallant accomplishment. Sat Kong badge will only be given to those individuals who have accomplished the above-mentioned feat. There will be no honorary presentations. Furthermore, only personnel who have personally killed a Viet Cong may wear the Sat Kong badge. Company commanders will draw Sat Kong badges from the executive officer and will maintain all control. And also explaining more about the badge, this is what is known as a Chu Hoi leaflet. On one side, it's in Vietnamese. On the other side, it's translated into English. This is used for two purposes. It's to build the morale of the soldier, make him want to kill, and it's also to scare the hell out of the Viet Cong. It's entitled Viet Cong NVA Beware. It says, you are now located in the area of operations of the Cong Killer 5th Battalion, 60th Infantry. Each member of this elite American unit is a trained killer dedicated to the annihilation of every VC NVA. Proof of his dedication is the Cong badge he proudly wears, proclaiming he has personally killed a VC NVA. We don't rest. We will hunt you with our helicopters, track you down with our radar, search above and below the water with boats, bombard you with artillery and airstrikes. There are no havens here. You are not safe, nor are you welcome here. Rally to the government of Vietnam now, or face the fact that you will soon join your ancestors. Signed, Cong Killer, 5th Battalion, 60th Infantry.
That's sort of interesting. You are not safe, nor are you welcome here. And this wasn't Vietnam, was it not?
Yes, it's their country, yeah.
Okay, Frank, in talking about this, how do we know that these people were VC, NVA, rather than normal peasants?
There's no possible way, really, to tell what, I never witnessed anyone cutting off an ear, for example, and bringing it in. I don't know that these were Viet Cong. I would suspect that it just seems that if you have something like this, you're going to get instances where people take civilians to get one of these badges. This was considered quite an honor, in fact, to have one of these badges. It was, now it seems rather sick, but over there it was the accepted thing. You were a real man if you had one. Someone put oak leaf clusters on the bottom if they killed more than one. It's just the kind of thing that, like I say, it's sick. Yeah, I have a letter.
Frank,
yeah.
The bottom line reads, rally to the government of Vietnam now. Was this used as a Chu Hoi pass? And if it was, or if it wasn't, were other Chu Hoi passes accepted by your unit?
No, there were the standard Chu Hoi passes that are issued to all units. This was not considered a Chu Hoi leaflet. This was more or less a threat. Now, if you were a civilian, imagine reading this in your village. This is dropped over populated areas. You can imagine reading this in your area and then walking around. You might, you'd be in fear for your life, afraid someone would take your ear to get one of these badges. And if you collected so many badges or you killed so many, you would get an R&R or a pass, go to Saigon, something like that. It was just part of the way to build up the body count.
Okay, Frank, what was the purpose of these SATCOM badges? For what were they designed? Up the morale, up the body count, or
yes,
what?
Up the body count, up the morale, make the men want to kill. As it said in the leaflet, it was trained killers. The unit is full of trained killers.
Okay, as an alleged veteran for the press, and as a, alleged SATCOM badge type thing, you might have made up yourself in your laundry at home.
That's true. I do this all the time.
That's another interesting thing that's brought out. These badges were made up at the local Vietnamese laundry.
Cost the taxpayers 11 cents a piece.
11 cents a piece.
That's all it is, really, if you can't see it that well. It's just a cloth. It's regular OD, really, and it's a... just have the letter SATCOM label on it with a in hand, or on a sewing machine, and it's covered with plastic. And the ring at the top is hanging over your button, and they wear these to the field. It's covered with plastic so the rain and the mud won't get at it, and people can see that you're a killer.
Okay, do you have any evidence for the press that this actually did take place, other than your saying so?
Yes, I do. I have two letters from the Defense Department admitting that the SATCOM badge was initiated in my unit. There's no question in their mind that it did happen. They pretend that they don't know the purpose for it. But as I say, I have the orders that were issued. I know the purpose for it, and everybody that was there knows the purpose for it. They say, I think this is interesting, it's sort of a contradiction that the government pulls every once in a while. They say they can't do anything about this. They couldn't prosecute any individual, as they indicated they would if they could, because the commanding officer and the brigade commander were killed in a helicopter crash. Well, that's kind of funny. In the Cali case, they say they can't prosecute the higher officers because it's an individual thing. And here they turn it around. And
in other words,
that's another inconsistency.
If there was a congressional hearing on this matter, investigation, and if action was to be taken against the person who has signed this, and this deposition form is signed, we don't particularly wish to use the name, the congressional investigation would be completely different. But if they wish to take action, then somebody has signed their name to this, and there is a live person around.
Yes, he
still
has. I believe he's responsible for it. I think he was taught in the Army that the reward system is a good system, and you should be given something to spur your men on to kill and want to kill. And I think this just came out of his own mind. I think this is sort of an isolated incident. But it is, of course, part of general policy.
Okay, thank you very much.
Scott, you and I talked about upping the body count before. Could you tell some of the ways in which this is done and some of the reasons for it?
Yeah, as I explained before, with our battalion and 9th Division in general, there was this tremendous competition between the colonels. Vietnam is not a land war. If you gain land, as in other wars, your efficiency report would go up. In this war, it's based on body count. The more people you kill, the better efficiency report, office's efficiency report, you get. So what happened here is a case of the colonels going into competition and making up more bodies than they really have. And this was, of course, passed on down to the company commanders and the platoon leaders and the squad leaders. So, hell, we were reporting stuff, water buffalo, in some cases, shadows. I remember one time I called artillery into a wood line where I'd received sniper fire and didn't check the wood line, called in three body count. This went on all the time. Other firefights, the count would be 80, 90, and personally I only saw two, three bodies. So it's a totally inflated system, and what's happened is the American public's been lied to. The Army has come out and stated that we've got a kill ratio of 1 to 13, and yes, it's 1 to 13 because of this inflation, but it's a lot of bull.
Going along with what Scott said, I was involved in an action on January 6th where Alpha Company, 2nd of the 39th, was ambushed. The ambush was effective. Alpha Company lost a lot of people. There was, it turned out to be more than Alpha Company or my company, Bravo Company, which went to help them. It turned out to be quite a few battalions were trying to get everyone out. Well, in the process, there were airstrikes, artillery all night. We had spooky overhead kicking out flares with miniguns. The area was saturated. I imagine the expenditure in amount of dollars would run into like $100,000, $200,000 worth of ordnance was expended. And we had lost 12 lives. Well, in order to justify this, they had to do something. So the next day, we swept the area. I personally swept a large area and with my company and saw no bodies, none whatsoever. But the next day, or when the next issue of the paper came out, there was a body count of 101, and it was telling what a great victory it was for 239 to have been able to produce these bodies. There were none. No bodies at all. So there's where your 13 to 1 comes from. I saw 12 of ours, but I didn't see 13 of theirs. I didn't see any of theirs. So I really don't think we're gaining anything in the war except losing people. Because we found nothing. There was no evidence of that a conflict had even taken place. There was no evidence of a firefight. Nothing. But we got 101 bodies. And 101 bodies from just mud and dirt is really, I think, a fantastic story to tell. But it doesn't happen just once, because as Scott has said, it's happened many times. And I'm sure everyone down the line can tell you 2, 3, 5, 10 occasions when they were with the unit, got absolutely nothing, and the body count was 6, 3, 2. You'd be on an LZ and they'd say, what's your body count today? You'd say, nothing. They'd say, well, we need bodies. So everyone would face to the outside and shoot a magazine, and then you'd just call in and say, well, we got 6. And you'd never move from where you were. You'd just shoot your weapon and call them and say, well, we got 6, and then you'd fly out. And this is what the higher echelon people wanted to hear. They didn't care what you were doing or how you were getting it. They wanted bodies. And that's where civilians came in also.
Mark or Scott, John has testified that there were rewards offered in his unit for bodies. Was this practiced in your unit, either on the company or higher level?
No. It was mostly a pat in the back, this sort of thing. But the sniper units, and as I remember, the sniper units in our unit, for so many kills, I've forgotten the exact number, they receive an award or a decoration like a Bronze Star or a Silver Star, depending on how high the kill was. And a lot of snipers would go out at night and shoot a few rounds, or usually not shoot a few rounds because of security problems, but they'd come back and they said they shot 2 or 3 people, and then, of course, that would add up.
Okay. Back to John Hartner again. John was in operations at headquarters for the 4th Division. He's brought back quite a bit of information, very interesting information, I might add. One thing which I think would be very worthwhile for all of us to hear, it's a bit lengthy, but I'll run through it fast, is the total take, I guess would be what you'd call it, for the 4th Division's entire Cambodian operation. These are the official figures which were turned in to the 4th Division. Later on, if you want, you can check them against whatever the newspapers said. For the total entire 4th Division, the amount killed in action, Vietnamese who were taken, 61. The total amount of detainees, suspects taken, 5. One Starlight scope was captured. 25 AK-47s were captured. 9 general rifles were captured, SKS, M1 carbine, etc. 5 pistols were captured. 236 grenades were captured. 39,840 piastres, is that? Money was captured. 10 crossbows were captured. 1 75-millimeter recoilless rifle, Chicom, as Chinese make. 3 120-millimeter rounds. 2 M79 Laws, that's like a bazooka, American issue. 4,153 SAs. Would you care to explain SA there, or do you remember?
Small arms,
okay. 27 60-millimeter rounds. 46 82-millimeter mortar rounds, both of these. 6 B-40 rounds. B-40s, the rocket, used much the same as bazooka is in the U.S. Army. 7 75-millimeter recoilless rifle rounds. 45 pounds of TNT, 770 pounds of medical supplies, 300 pounds of corn, 21,288 pounds of rice, 301 and one-half pounds of salt, 920 pounds of potatoes, and one sewing machine. This was for the entire Cambodia excursion for the 4th Division. This is the thing which is saving our boys in Vietnam by going after them in the neighboring country against the Geneva Conventions.
Is there anyone else on the panel who has anything on this?
About, like, incentive for body counts, you know. We never really had that much incentive for, you know, body counts. They didn't give us anything like that, but this is slightly related. It's like souvenirs. You know, everybody likes souvenirs, you know. That's sort of like an American pastime, is souvenirs. And like, in our unit, I went to visit a friend in a, over there in a Connex, on top of a Connex. It's a metal shape. It's a metal box that they ship goods over to Vietnam in, and they're big enough for a man to walk in. But on top of it was a set of ears drying in the sun. This is right behind the battalion TOC, which is Tactical Operations Center, so that they were fully aware that they could not help if they just walked around to see a set of ears on a Connex, you know, drying in the sun. I know myself, you know, I thought at first that was revolting, but after a while I thought, you know, hey man, maybe I want a souvenir. One of these days I'll get myself, when I come across a body, a finger and ear myself. Now, I don't know how I could have thought that. I did think it, you know, what prompted me to do that changed it. But, you know, like when I went over there, it was a revolting idea, you know, but then, you know, once you did kill a body, you know, that you could, you know, bring back the souvenir that you did kill it, you know, you got a finger or an ear or anything like that.
Okay, is there anybody else on the panel that has anything?
Go on, I don't know. I thought you were going to bring up the treatment of prisoners, but apparently...
Well, we're going into that.
Okay, fine.
Okay. Are there any questions from the press?
Yeah, Scott or Mark, in reference to the incidents of the higher-up coming over and asking for body counts, and there haven't been none, and you're turning around and shooting into the air and then reporting, do you have any opinion as to why you were at all asked to go through the trouble of expending that ammunition? In other words, why did not the higher-up simply choose a number out of the blue sky? Why were you asked to participate?
Okay, the question is, why was there an expenditure of ammo when a higher body count was asked for? Mark or Scott, you want to ask?
Well, it's very simple. You key the mic on your radio and say, in contact, and in the background you have, of course, small arms fire. And then about 10 minutes later, you call in and say, we got six. So he knows you're playing the game, and you know you're playing the game, but it's the game. And therefore, he's convinced, well, they must have got him. I heard the small arms fire. And therefore, he's convinced, and apparently that frees his spirit.
Is it always the case that the microphone plays a part in here?
No.
What I'm getting at is there a dynamic going on in which the officer, the higher up, tries to implicate the rank and file men such that both of them are in the game?
Well, right. Okay, are there any other questions from the press?
How big is the 4th Division?
The question is, how big is the 4th Division?
Well, I couldn't tell you right now in numbers. At that time, it consisted of two brigades, If you look on that sheet of paper, I believe we had 6 battalions or 7 battalions. And then, of course, the size would fluctuate constantly, too. Within each of your battalions, there were 6 battalions. Each of your battalions, you had your supporting companies, such as artillery and your maintenance crews, et cetera, your headquarters companies. And then you had usually 4 companies themselves, and the size of the companies would often range between 150 and 100 men.